There we go. I wanted to record this. So, toward the one. So the Buddhist proverb goes like this, and you've probably heard it, but it's a good thing because it relates so much to this beautiful quote of Mercer's. And that is, imagine that you're standing at one end of a field, and before you is this vast field, and you know that your objective is to reach the other side. The only problem is that strewn through the entire field are thorns, and you know that you can't so safely make it across without being hurt. So you have two options. One is to very carefully pick one thorn up, one thorn up, one thorn up, making a path for yourself so you can have clear passage. Or it's said that you can make sure that the soles of your shoes are very sturdy so that when you walk across, you won't be pricked by the thorns. And so here's the metaphor. We in this tradition, and so many other traditions really, have a vast blessing of practices that can help to clarify our own heart and mind and being. And by doing so, uproot those thorns that maybe prick us from others. But also, what's for me so important is what are my thorns that could prick someone else? That's so important. We can tolerate a lot of things. We don't have to react, but we want to also clarify and smooth out our rough spots. So I want to talk a little bit about that. And I will, of course, rely on Mercer's words to guide us. But I also want to talk about the element of love, because love can wash away, can cleanse, can uplift. And I'm not talking about sentimentality. I'm talking about this abiding, unconditional love. That here's an example. So I'm in the pool today, and I haven't seen one of these, but it was on the edge of the pool, and it was a huge, I don't know, what do they call those? It looked like a roach, but here they're big and they fly. So there's another name for them. And so this one woman was in the pool and she goes, "Oh my God," she was having a fit about it. So she starts splashing the bug. I said, "Don't hurt the bug." She thinks I'm nuts, right? So the bug, I don't know, it was really interesting. It kind of looked at her, it fluttered its wings and it flew right at her. And I thought, "He's getting you back. He's getting you back, Jody." So then we asked someone that helps keep things straight on the pool deck. I had some swim paddles and I picked the bug up. I said, "Please take the bug." There was another person in I said, "Don't know, this is a no-kill zone." And this other person said, "I'm with you, no-kill zone." So we saved that little bug. He might have become food for some bird or something at some point. But the point is that love for all creatures, even if they're like that little bug was for Joni, a little disgusting. She was scared of it. She didn't want to see it. But you know, all creatures have a right to be, for sure. And so Mershit also teaches us, this is also from the Bolasaki, but it says, love itself is the healing power and the remedy for all pain. Love itself is the healing power and the remedy for all pain. God willing. The other quote that I'd like to use, and I think it's very beautiful, and it will really open my session of what I'd like to offer tonight, and that is breath. Mershit says, breath being the life power is the same life power which gives this a person strength to endure all things. Breath is the life power. It's the same power which gives a person strength to endure all things. And how much this relates to the thorns that may prick us from another's personality. But if we can take a moment, we can breathe, we can feel our own constitution, our own inner state, our own fortress, building our fortress through the breath, then we can perhaps live more harmoniously and more peacefully, not necessarily trying to change another, but changing ourselves is the most important thing. So I'd like to read a few words, and this is all leading to a practice. But this is from Sufi Message Volume 13, the Gathas, and it's on breath. And it's the section is on the life power. And Murshid says this, and think about it in relationship to this quote, these thorns that we need must be careful to lift these thorns from our being that prick us from another. And this is, he's giving an indication of here of how we might do that. So he says this, on breath depends the capability and efficiency with which one thoroughly does one's work. Now that could be an external work or it's the inner work. You take it as you wish. Murshid goes on to explain, shortness of breath gives a person impatience, lack of endurance. Someone's not muted. Could I ask, maybe it's you, Marty and Rahim. I'm gonna mute you just real quick. Okay. I think I got you. Okay. So shortness of breath gives a person impatience, lack of endurance, and irregularity of rhythm of breath gives rise to confusion and makes a person inclined to be easily upset. Murshid's giving the prescription right here. When we feel those pricks, do we have enough presence of mind to breathe? Just breathe into it without reacting. So irregularity of the rhythm of breath gives rise to confusion and makes a person inclined to be easily upset. He goes on to say, breath, being the life power, is the same life power which gives a person strength to endure all things. Breath, being the life power, is the same power which gives a person strength to endure all things. So you see, if we do, you hear Parker over here, he's doing his evening ablution. So if you hear someone licking, it's not Joe, it's the dog over here. He's right next to me. But anyway, breath is the thing that can help us endure all things so we can build this inner sanctuary by focusing on our breath and using the tools of the breath. It's kind of a technology that can help propel us in life and uplift us. I mean, think about it. It's like the two wings, the wings and the heart. It's the breath. So Murshid goes on to say, one always will find those who easily get cross, easily upset, instantly annoyed, have some, and that is clue. When you watch their breath, you can see that there's something irregular in their breath. That's what he's telling us. He says it, they have something wrong with the breath. So we can be, in a way, our own diagnosticians. We can observe our breath, and it can help give us an indication of our state of mind, whether it's peaceful, calm, reactionary, unfocused, but we can use the breath to tether ourselves and bring us back. You okay, Parker? Okay. One always will find that those who get easily cross, quickly upset, instantly annoyed, have something wrong with the breath. Repeat that, it bears repeating. People not knowing their difficulty get annoyed with them. They put them aside and are considered disagreeable people. What they need is the training of breathing. And any of you that are here that are teachers and offer that as a service to others, remember this, the breath, teachings on the breath, focusing on the breath, the culture of the breath. Murshid Sam has written beautiful papers on the culture of the breath. Very, very wise words that can illuminate us. But he goes on to say what they need is the training of the breath. And when these people that tend to get annoyed or difficult, you know, they're disagreeable, when their body and their mind is so repaired through the use of the breath, one will find no more disagreeableness in their nature. God willing, what a beautiful, beautiful opportunity that we all have, just to turn to the breath, the tool that's always with us. So I'd like to give some instructions on a breath. It's called the Kassab breath. It's also called alternate nostril breathing. In some traditions, it's called pranayama. And there are different methods that this breath can be given in terms of the direction of the breath, the use of the nostrils of the breath, and so forth. But in this one, we're truly going to alternate, and no need to be concerned. I'll talk us through the process. But again, a few more words of Murshid's leading up to the practice. In Sufic terms, there are three aspects of breath. He says, the Jamal, which is this more gentle side, the Jalal, the more active side, and Kamal, this point of perfect peace. He further describes them. Jamal qualities are receptive. They have a receptivity, a kindness, a tolerance, forgiveness, gentleness, mildness, modesty, and humility. The state of Jamal is the life force that moves through the left channel. So when we're focusing on this left nostril, breathing in or breathing out, consider these qualities, this kindness, a gentleness, receptivity, tolerance. If you find yourself in a situation where you need to call upon these qualities, maybe just gently close off this nostril and breathe through that left nostril. The Jamal state can be achieved through the inhalation and exhalation of breath through the left nostril or the left channel. And again, the left channel runs the whole distance from the spine to the crown on the left side of the spine. Achieving this state of consciousness is useful to a person who wishes to be receptive in a relaxed state of mind. Jamal absorbs from the atmosphere. Jamal is like the moon, which delicately reflects the radiance of the sun. So how is this useful to us? Well, right now you might want to check your breath. If you are wanting to be receiving these teachings without having to cling or, you know, just letting it gently into the mind stream, we enter this. This is what I do when I'm receiving teachings. I try to focus on that left nostril so that I can absorb from the atmosphere what my teachers are expressing to me, giving to me. I also try to do that sometimes here by the sea. If I've had a very busy day and I've been inside a lot, I'll go sit outside and try to put myself in that receptive state of mind to absorb the beauty and the prana from the seaside. So think about how you can serve yourself, support yourself by giving yourself this breath and absorbing the beauty of a beautiful landscape, a sunrise, a sunset. Let it come into your being. Then Murshid goes on to explain the Jalal breath. And again, that's a right nostril oriented breath. These qualities are marked with activity, courage, power, and strength. So when we know we have to wrap ourselves in courage and be involved in the active principle, if we're doing, you know, Marty Amin, maybe he's out there doing his gardening and he needs an extra little bit of force to put that pitchfork in or shovel something, well, the Jalal breath will be very helpful to give you energy and power. The state of Jalal is the state of force which moves through the right channel again. So then right nostril, but also this whole channel up and down. So as we do the breath, you may think about bringing that up along those two sides of the spine, and then ultimately will come up through the middle as well. So the Jalal state is achieved through the inhalation and exhalation of breath through the right nostril, or this channel of breath. Achieving this state of consciousness is useful to a person who wishes to accomplish something, display confidence, radiate positivity into an atmosphere, and avoid absorbing negative influences into oneself. Jalal is like the radiant sun filled with energy and light. So here's an example. Right now I'm checking my breath and it's in the right nostril. Check your breath. Are you left or right? Just notice. Now I remember Murshida Vera. I think she said it publicly, not just personally to me. But here's an example. I remember I thought it was in a group, but again, it could have been to me individually. She had said, when entering a hospital or going to see someone ill, make sure you're in your right nostril. If you have to stand outside the room, hold the left nostril and breathe in and out the right. She said, this way you won't absorb anything that you don't wish to in that atmosphere. But also what's so important is that you radiate a kind of sunny disposition and an optimism, and it can be very helpful. If someone's ill, it can uplift them. So that was an example from someone that I consider to be a master, and it's practical. Also, if you're giving a lecture or a talk, you want to be able to be sure that you're radiating like the sun so that people can, can feel that radiance and that energy coming from you, and God willing, be able to absorb it. So think about the practical nature of these teachings. The last breath, which we will do because we'll do left, right, left, back and forth, and I'll talk us through that, but the Kamal breath, and it's the perfect balance in between Jamal and Jalal. The Kamal state is achieved through a balanced inhalation and exhalation of the breath through both nostrils or channels of the breath. Now, the instructions were always given to me to focus again when breathing in the left nostril, up the side of the spine, imagining, of course, the energy centers in our body that go up. We have them, many of them. We have them in our hands and our feet, but we're now talking primarily between the base of the spine and the top of the crown. We know there are several centers. Sometimes we have been told 7, sometimes 8, could be the transpersonal center above our head. But the instructions that I had received is sort of imagine, because those are like wheels. They call them chakras, which also means wheels. And they're turning. All the time they're turning. If you ever feel out of balance or out of sorts, just make yourself rotate in this direction from left to right. It'll get those centers turning in the right direction. Sometimes if you have a pain somewhere, just try to make yourself turn so that you can get those. It's like, you've seen those. I don't know, you all are probably too young, but I watched Ed Sullivan and they'd have those people spinning the plates on the sticks. It's like that, you know, all the way up our spinal column and above. So that's what we want to do, is we want to get all those centers spinning. But first we do it up one side and we touch those plates all the way up to get them turning, and then down the other side to keep them turning. It's a lot. It sounds like a lot of information, in some ways purposefully so. So you just kind of glitz out and can receive the instructions. Okay, so Kamal is a point of stillness between the two forces. And in traditional Buddhist practices, we talk about that as the gap between the breath, which is that such an important thing to be aware of and to touch upon, because that gap actually is the thing that happens when we take our last breath. There's that gap. And then where does the consciousness go? If we're really awake at that moment, we can guide the consciousness as we wish to our next destination. So this state, this Kamalic state, is kind of this very subtle yogic breath, and it's a state that's desirable to sustain meditative states for long periods of time. You kind of just rest into it. When we were in Thailand, we had these restaurants we'd stop at, and they'd have just lined up on a little kind of dock, raised dock, all these hammocks so that people could go take a rest. It's like that. You're resting in this hammock, just very relaxed but very awake state at the same time. So again, one can understand the forces and the influence of these three aspects, Jamal, Jalal, and Kamal, through the practice of what's called the Kasab breath. Kasab. Sometimes you see it spelled K-A-S-A-B, and sometimes you see it spelled Q-A-S-A-B. And this is the alternate nostril breathing technique. Now, just a few more words. Stick with me. Stick with me. I promise it's worth it. The Kasab breath gives control to the breath, and so it controls the thoughts, the feelings, the emotions, and all of our affairs. So some of you maybe have been given this practice. I know I was early on given this practice. Maybe at the very, very beginning I was given it to do it daily. And I can tell you that for sure, when I do this practice, I know that it creates a more balanced state of awareness. And, you know, I've made a commitment to try to do it every single day. And I think it's very helpful. Kasab develops a volume in the breath, and it purifies and makes the breath rhythmic. It purifies breathing, the tubes and the veins and the nerves. And it also, here's big news, helps to avoid contagious disease. Kasab gives freedom of inhalation and exhalation. The breath feels light and pure, and it gives rise to a feeling of happiness. So just with the breath, we can feel light, we can feel purified, and we can have this feeling of happiness, not contingent on external circumstances, and in spite of whatever thorns we may have in our life, we can still be uplifted. The breath becomes wide in volume and long in reach. And I think some of you probably have been given those practices too, where you're asked to focus on something before you and then project it at a distance. These are all techniques that are given on the Sufi path, but aid in healing, aid in sending goodwill. You know, these are very important things to understand, to be able to project our thoughts and our ideas, really, to share them. So the breath becomes wide in volume and long in reach. The body feels light and ethereal. The soul radiates light outwards and also inwards. So we're projecting that outward, and it's also brightening us from the inside. And so things become clear because we have this light. The light within illuminates and it guides us on our path. So the practice helps to direct the life force in specific directions. And again, the goal is balance. The goal is balance. So I'm going to talk through the rhythm and how we're going to perform this practice. But I will be very specific as we do it together. So I'm going to just quickly let you know that what's going to happen. And this is preaching to the choir because you all probably do this breath every day. But at any rate, for me, I get very excited about studying these things again and learning what Murshida teaches us about them, because it helps frame them in a certain way, and it gives me a kind of joy and enthusiasm to do these practices. So we're going to start with a very strong exhalation through both nostrils. We're going to empty the air from our system and clear the tubes. Then we're going to breathe in through the left to the count of four. We're going to hold to eight. We're going to breathe out right. Then we're going to breathe in right, hold to the count of eight, and out left. We're going to do that. That's one cycle. We're going to do that five times. Then we're going to circle back and use both nostrils. Again, when we're doing the left breath, think about feeling the breath rise on the left side of the spine, spinning those chakras, getting them turning. And then when we hold, we're kind of in this equipoise before we begin. Then we breathe out, again, striking those plates very gently to turn them along the right side of the spine. Then breathing in right, holding, and out left. When we complete that cycle five times, we'll breathe in both nostrils and out both nostrils. At that point, as well as focusing on the breath, try to consider the breath going, rising through your central channel, the point that's holding all those plates, and they're spinning, okay? And we'll meet on the other side of the practice. So we're going to begin with a very strong exhalation, and I'm going to ask you to breathe out even more than you think you can, and even bend over a little bit at the waist and give an extra cough to get all the breath out. So let's first take a strong inhalation and then breathe out through the mouth. Keep breathing out. More. Cough at the very end. Now, hold your two more things and then we'll do the practice. There's a couple wet things you can do with these hands. There's one way that you can do this. It is putting the right thumb under your chin, using the middle finger on the right nostril, cupping your hand and using your thumb on the left nostril. This is one way to do the breaths, okay? Back and forth. Very traditional method. It also kind of shrouds us a little bit to keep the breath contained, which, by the way, if anyone ever has hyperventilation, you'll know that the doctor tells you to breathe in a bag. So there's something about recirculating that's very healthy and helpful and calming. The other method is, and you see this sometimes in the Hindu practice of this, is you can take your ring finger and your thumb and then use these fingers kind of touching the third eye. These are all mechanics, and I would encourage you to experiment with them on your own, see if it alters the practice for you. For my purposes, I'm just going to do this because it's easier for me to talk without covering my mouth and doing this. And you can do that as well. The other thing that's very helpful, and it helps to raise the energy, i.e. kundalini, opening those channels, is let the tongue gently rest at the roof of the mouth, sort of the soft palate, as you do the breath. Okay, are we ready to begin? Thumbs up? Okay, good. So let's do that one last breath again where we breathe in and out real deeply, and then we'll just go right into the breath. And I'll talk us through where we're going to be, and I'll do the counts for us so you don't have to worry about any of that. Okay, let's take a deep breath in through our nostrils, both nostrils. And then we're going to breathe out through the mouth. Keep breathing out. More. And bend over and give it a cough. Close off your right nostril, breathe in through the left. Hold. Out right. In right, hold, out left, in left, hold, out right. In right, hold, out left, in left, hold, out right. In right, hold, out left, in left. Hold. Out right. In right. Hold. Out, oh no, hold. Out left. In left. Hold. Out right. In right. Hold. Out left. In both. Hold. Out both. 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 And just return to your natural breath. Feel your body. Check into your inner state. Notice thoughts, feelings, sensations. Let the light shine. Let the light shine. I'll close with another quote of Murshid's, and it is from September 13th, Bolavsaki, which is such a special day. It's when the message traveled from India in Murshid's heart to the West. And he says this: "The only way to live in the midst of inharmonious influences is to strengthen the willpower and endure all things, yet keeping fineness of character and nobility of manner, together with an everlasting heart full of love."